Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on the Saturday morning. It's already January 25th. It's hard to believe January's already gone. Seemed like my Christmas vacation was just yesterday, but not really. Well, I'm your host this morning, Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show.
Good morning, Houston. I'm Austin Mendez.
Austin, how's it going, bud?
Man, going pretty good. It's different for me doing a Saturday show.
Yeah, it is. Well, you're gonna be busy today.
Yes, sir. I'm ready for it.
Get them lined up, man. Just like air traffic control. Line them up, and I'll punch them up.
Yes, sir.
Well, cool. All right, well, let's get rolling. Our sponsors today, Texan Roofing, Castaway Rods, McLean Trailers, Mainstream Marketing, Boyd's One Stop, and the Belleville Meat Market. All right, weather. Looking at G-Town down there in Galveston right now. It's 54 degrees down on the island. A little cooler up on the high ground, about 45, 46 up here. But lovely weather anyway. But today they're calling for a 20% chance of precipitation. You know, that's probably more afternoon stuff when the clouds roll in. But high of 68, winds will be east-southeast at 10 to 20. It's dead calm right now. And then tonight, they're upping it to 70% chance of rain tonight and for tomorrow. Winds will be south-southeast 10 to 20. And then tomorrow looks like more, you know, that other front line coming through. You know, we just had one, getting another. But they'll be shifting in the afternoon to northwest at 10 to 20. But we do have a 70% chance of rain tonight and tomorrow. So more moisture. If you like moisture, we've got it. Crawfish are loving it. It's going to be a banner crop, they say, because of the warmer temperatures and the, you know, the way the rain is this year. Looking at tides for today, we're on a four-tide schedule. These are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We're sitting on a high tide right now. Our next tide is at 10:21 a.m. It's a low, a negative 0.7. Then we have a high at 6:41 p.m., an 0.9. Then a low at 10:40 p.m. at 0.8. Sunrise this morning, 7:12 a.m. And sunset this evening, 5:51 p.m. Our moon phase is zero. We're on a new moon. Looking offshore, shows a buoy out there. It's gusting to about 9 miles per hour. Wave heights are less than a foot. And Eagle Point, we have an east-northeast wind at 5 to 6. 58.5-degree water temperature. And 56 degrees. Morgan's Point, it's 52 degrees with 59-degree water with east winds at 3 to 5. Barometric pressure reading at all these stations is 30.14 inches and steady. So there it is. There's the weather and tides, and make the most of it. It looks like a nice morning so far, but the winds, they are claiming to get up to around 10 to 20 this afternoon, with a little bit of rain chance coming in, and then tonight and tomorrow, the biggest chances of rain before that next little front comes through. So, all right, well, let's go ahead and get started up here, and let's roll over to Sabine Lake, and let's get started with Captain Bill Watkins. Bill, good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, good morning. It's good to hear from you.
What is going on?
Oh, well, I'm on my way to go fishing this morning here in a little bit. What did you say was the water temperature this morning?
58 and 59 at two locations inside the bay here.
That's pretty cold.
Yeah.
But that'll be all right.
It is. Austin, you think we ought to make another call to Bill and repunch him up and see if we can get that muffly sound out? Do you? Can you hear that in your end?
Yeah, I got you. I'll call him back.
Yeah, call him back.
Call me on the house phone.
Yeah, house phone. All right, we'll redo this. All right. Yeah, that was a little muffled. That wasn't on our end. That was on his end. And hopefully we've got whatever glitches we had going here resolved, And now we got one on his phone, so we'll get him back up and get it clear again, see what else we can do with it. But no, it looks like a nice morning. It's calm right now, and temperatures are mild, a little warmer along the coast, and it's definitely doable. It's a little cooler up this way. All right, let's go back with Bill. Let's see if we got a better connection this time. All right, Bill, we're back.
All right, man, I got you now.
Oh, man, that's way better, man. You were just so foggy and muffled. Now you're funny. Not. It's good.
It's funny how those cell phones are. They'll be so clear, and then they'll be mushy.
Yeah, sometimes you just grab a bad bite, you know, with them, and I've had that happen when I'm, you know, full bars and got a good signal, but I just get in an in-between deal. I have to call somebody back so we can understand each other. But we're good now, man. How are you doing?
Yeah. Oh, everything's great. I'm getting ready to go fishing this morning. First trip out this year.
Oh, well,
it's time to start moving.
Yeah, well, what are you going to try this morning? Anything and everything?
Yeah. I'm going to go out there and see if I can shake hands or hand a fin with all them little finny friends of mine.
Well.
Yeah. So I don't care if they're, I don't care what their color is. I'm going to shake hands with them anyway.
Yeah.
And see where they are. I kind of figure they'll be right where they were when I left them the last time. But actually, I'm going to probably cover most of the Louisiana shoreline today, just skipping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, east side, northeast corners. That was a pretty stiff wind we had the day before yesterday, and that thing blew in. That was a pretty good front. So I imagine the south end's going to be kind of tore up. But, you know, it's a funny thing about Sabine Lake, when the water is salty, it doesn't take long for the sediment to drop out of it. And once it's fresh and muddy, it doesn't matter. It just gets worse. And we've still got some pretty good salinity now. So I expect that there'll be quite a few spots that'll hold fish today. They might be a little stiff as cool as it is, but they'll bite.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the water's perfect. I mean, the temperatures
I got a hot rod on one rod. And a little John on the other.
Well, that's pretty good ammo to start out with.
That's a pretty good way to start. I think I can find them with that.
I believe so.
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, I think the trout might be a little weird this morning, but I bet they'll bite, too. That's, you know, anything over 50 degrees is pretty easy to they'll bite pretty good.
Oh, yeah. We had gotten a little bit warm for this time of year. You know, a week ago,
yeah,
we were up to like 65 and 66 degree water. That's unheard of in January, my friend.
Yeah, that's a little too warm.
I've been doing this a long time, and I can't ever recall that. Usually January is the month the water's the coldest, you know.
Yeah. Well, that makes those fish act weird. When it gets too warm this time of year, it kind of makes them act funny. I think that it's kind of unusual for them.
Yeah, it definitely curtails the big trout pattern and bite that you were accustomed to for this time of year. You know, usually we're looking for protected corners, you know, northeast and northwest corners with soft mud bottoms holding warmer,
yep,
water temperatures where the bait, you know,
has
comfortable access to it, which draws the bigger fish and the bigger bites in shallow. And, when it gets that warm, it changes everything. Then everything goes back to shell, you know, when you get in that 60-degree mark and above. And then once you drop back down in the 50s again, then the, you know, the softer mud-shell mix seems to come into play a lot better. And fish get a little bit bigger, too.
Yeah, you're talking my language now.
Think so? Think we kind of fish alike in a lot of ways, patterns and everything? Trinity Bay and Sabine Lake are almost identical to each other pattern-wise.
Well, without ever being in the boat together, we would approach it exactly the same.
You know, we need to change that this year. We got to get hooked up. Whether you come over and go with me or I come over and go with you, we got to at least fish
together.
Yeah,
we could go on a pencil mission and tear them up.
Hey, I got them for you, buddy. I know you got them too. Let's go get them. Do a little meat haul.
Tell you what,
little table fare.
You know, it's funny how that can change, though.
It can.
You either got to grow them and get them that way, or you got to get an exchange out of the Gulf that would move some bigger fish in.
Yeah.
And either way, you got a shot there. But judging by the number of small trout that I had last year, the numbers are really back up. And I suspect... I don't know why we wouldn't have had a really good spawn last summer. It should have, and conditions were real good. So I'm thinking that recruitment-wise, we're in great shape.
Yeah, we are, and they even said that even when they made these limit changes. But, you know, it takes 2 and 3 years to bring those fish up to the ranks of keeper-catching fish, and it's...
Yep.
You know, you gotta save what you have so some get through the system to continue, you know, the biomass. I mean, that's the whole key, and that's the big conflict they're having over the flounder restrictions right now. They're wanting to change too,
yeah,
because our biomass is curtailed somewhat. It's supposed to be at an all-time low, the lowest they've ever seen it for flounder.
Yeah,
you know, like the little 2, 3, 4 to 6 inch flounder. You know, those age classes of fish coming up. Now, there's a big controversy going on with it, and I'm not going to get in the middle of it. You know, after the trout thing, you know, I'm done with that kind of stuff. You know, what do I know? And I'm just going to sit back and enjoy what I do for a living, just fish. Shut up and fish.
Yeah.
That's my motto. Shut up and fish. Take what it gives you.
Now, and
be blessed every day to have it, you know?
That's exactly right. I've got a one-track mind when it comes to my approach to guiding. I'm thinking about how to catch fish. I'm not worried about their scientific name. I'm not worried about any of that stuff. I'm going to go out there and find out how to catch them. And I'm going to catch them. And that's how I look at it. All of that study and all this stuff, I'll leave that to the biologists. But
well, and that's their expertise. I mean, but we've got so many fishermen that think they know more than those guys do. Now, I think we do in some areas, but as far as the biological end of it, and you know, from the beginning, from the time they're hatched up through the ranks, they have deeper, more consistent studies than we do. Because we don't fish for those little bitty tiny fish. We don't know anything about biomass.
No. How many 3-inch trout do you catch every year?
You don't, you know.
You don't. Like, you don't ever catch one.
And, you know, what's so funny, everybody blamed all this bycatch crap on the shrimpers. You remember all that, and they run
out
of business. They blame the shrimpers for all of our, you know, issues.
Right.
And now we're all blaming each other. You know, the harvest of these fish, all the fishermen, it has nothing to do with either one. It's called environmental fallout. It's what it is.
Yeah. I think there's forces going on in the environment that we don't really understand sometimes.
Exactly, and that's where those guys come into play, because they know. They know what they do the water samples and, you know, all the krill surveys, the biomass surveys, all of it, and they're... I think they might be a little bit sharper at that than we are.
They probably are.
Yeah.
You know.
I'll give them that. That's what we have a Fish and Wildlife Department for. If we didn't, we wouldn't have any fish left. Look what, how'd that buffalo population work out for them back in the 1800s?
If you kill them all, there won't be any. That's
without a game department. Yeah, that is so true.
Yeah,
let me do
game warden.
My first break, and I'll come back, and we'll continue on. Hang with me, Bill. I'll be right back with you.
You're
listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We're going to take our first break. We'll be right back after these messages. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 417 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go back to Bill Watkins over at Sabine Lake. All right, Bill, I am back. Thanks for holding.
All right. No problem.
We're back.
Well, we were discussing all of these fish surveys and how the biologists operate. And I've always enjoyed talking to them. I talked to Terry Stelly over here. He's one of the head guys over our area on Pleasure Island, and I like to look at all the data that they've got. And sometimes when he's not too busy, I'll pass by there and take a look at all of his charts and pull up everything on the computer and, you know, compare the bays. They've got it all, and the interesting thing is that what I see on the water is almost exactly what they've got.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I'm looking at it the right way, because we're pretty our outlook on what's going on is pretty similar. And I've got an advantage because I'm doing a fish survey every day. Now they're not out there every day doing net surveys.
No.
And they're not out there every day doing creel counts. But I'm out
well,
there.
When they are, it's 30 to 40 miles an hour and raining when nobody's fishing.
Yeah.
And nobody's bringing anything in. And then on the calm
true,
days and everybody's slaughtered them, they're never there, you know, to count fish when you get in on after a banner day.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard for them to catch that right. They do it a certain number of days, a certain number of ramps. They do go all over, you know. Sometimes they just sit there. They don't have any fishermen to come in. But there's no other way to do it, you know, except to just go out there and hang and wait.
Well, that's true.
And, you know, I know they've got other things to do on other days.
Louisiana's even using this approach now. Their biologists have been real concerned and serious for the last couple of years about their biomass,
yep.
Their fish coming up, and the shortage of fish they have, you know, catchable fish, as they call them, you know, what we target as fishermen. And
right.
The reduced populations of those naturally reflects to the biomass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if last year you had 1 million trout that spawned in a bay system, and you cut that in half with catch shares, and this year you only have 500,000 of them spawning, well, naturally your biomass is going to be lesser than it was the year before. And that's what they're trying to do, is go through the smaller counts to predict the future. It's like us. I mean, if we could have foreseen, you know, 5 years of extreme flooding like we had, and
yeah.
stack-ups and the targeting of fish and the slaughter of fish, we would all said, hey, yeah, let's drop it to 5. Let's do an emergency thing here and cut it back so we can save something for the future. But we didn't do that. And I kind of hold Texas Parks and Wildlife responsible for that, for them not staying on top of that and see what was really going on in our bay system and yours,
yeah.
You know, at that time. I mean, you saw it. We all saw it. But everybody thought, oh, it's, you know, it's not going to hurt anything. Well, it did. I don't care what anybody says. It did.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And, East Bay was one of the worst massacres that I've seen in a long time.
Well, there in Lower Galveston Bay was the same thing. All that shell over there, all your Dollar and Eagle Point and Moses area and all that, it was an everyday slugfest. I mean,
yeah.
Running,
you know,
two,
ours,
three.
Our situation is a smaller microcosm of what y'all had on a large scale.
Well, yeah, yours was neck down, though. I mean, to your lower channel area, and there's just not a very vast body of water once you get down there and all those fish piled in it. They really become easy pickings.
They do. And thank goodness one day they picked up and left and went north, and if they hadn't, we'd have wiped them out.
Yeah, it would have been over with. Well, you have a better recovery.
Yeah, it was nothing. I mean, I can't tell you how many days we went out there and with three guys in the boat and myself, and we'd we'd catch a full 15 fish limit. And finally, that's when I started saying, okay, guys, I'm not keeping my limit anymore.
Yeah.
It was so easy that it just, it didn't feel right to me. I said, this is wrong. I need to stop. And, you know, fortunately, there was a lot of people that didn't know how to fish that way. And so we did get a break on it. But then those fish just one day in late May, they just picked up and went north. The water salted up, and they went with it. They left.
Well, your fishery is unique because of the way the water's funneled into it and
right.
from below it into it, you know, from above and below. You know, that water comes up that channel, and it'll go all the way up and then circulate and come back out into the back of the bay. I've seen it over there where you had a saltwater land on the south end, and you had a saltwater land on the north end, and
That's
the middle
right.
was all fresh. And it just continues to mix and come together in
yeah.
the middle. You know, us here, we have to wait for it all to spread all the way up north, you know, that way. And we have some relief areas, you know, like what we call upstream up here, that the channel correlates all that water into those smaller bays up there, especially for the wintertime access, and gives good fishing grounds up there. But for the rest of the system, it just takes way more time to come back than it does up your way.
Yeah, you're right. It's just the way everything's laid out.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have, you got West Bay and those places like that that salt up real quick.
Oh, yeah, right. West Bay stayed salty all this whole year, and it was, well, that's where everybody was fishing. I mean,
yeah,
if it wasn't
I'm sure.
for West Bay, there would have been very minimal catches this year.
Well, it's you know, our bay system can swap water real fast.
Mm-hmm.
If those two big rivers turn off, then that saltwater wedge will move up, and you know, I mean, within a week, it'll be all over the place.
Yeah,
and you can see the water color change with it. It's pretty interesting. But we got hit hard with floods. Terrible floods.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And floods that I was wondering if I'd have a fish left after it was over with. That's how bad it got. But somehow, you're talking about the Louisiana wildlife and fisheries. They've got young ladies and men that run the surveys over there. They're doing more net samples now. And now last year, 2019, they saw a pretty good increase of speckled trout. And year before, 2018, was the lowest they'd ever seen it.
Yeah.
I've talked to them all the time.
But biomass, the last 3 years, has been the lowest in recorded history over there. That's what they're worried about,
mm-hmm.
is those age class fish coming up. They're
yeah,
trying to hold
year
on.
Last they started catching them again.
Yeah.
I talked to them, and they said, oh, we're looking a lot better. And they found a lot of saltier water when they were checking the water salinity. And those fish, they've come across, I think a lot of them come across from Calcasieu through the intercoastal.
They do. They exchange.
Yeah, and we've had a bunch of fish this past fall that showed up. And that usually happens every fall. We'll get an influx of fish up north, and I have no idea where they come from. I'm just guessing. But it's like, where y'all been? I sure am glad to see y'all again. And
right.
they'll be chunky, you know, pretty silvery fish. They look like they come out of the Gulf, but there's no way they did because they're way up there. So either they're coming out of the deep rivers or have running up and down the ICW, one of the two. But I just, I'm glad when they show up. It's always fun.
Yes.
Some of those schools will be quite large. Last year, when I quit fishing in mid-December, there was a lot of fish up there. And
right.
a lot of good catchable fish. I had fish from 13 inches up to about 18. Pretty common.
Yeah, I think Louisiana's are looking real hard at that, of raising that minimum length up too.
Yeah, they
and,
might. They might.
They're even discussing slots, and I still say that. Boy, that would be, you know, a savior is to have a slot. You know, James and I have been talking about that for 5 years, you know, like a middle slot of your really, your what we call our brood fish, the ones that spawn the most and the best, you know, have the best spawning potential. And there's a lot of ways to look at it. But minimum length, you know, at least get one or two spawns out of your smaller age class fish before they're harvestable age, you know.
My take on that is you need to quit keeping 15 per person, and that'll help a lot. You need to drop that limit. And if they would do that, it would go a long way toward fixing things, because Louisiana marshes are so prolific. And they know that, but I'm not real sure that the size of the trout is the issue. It's just when you slaughter 100 a day in a guide boat, or, you know, back when it was 25, I thought, I know this can't, this is not sustainable.
It can't continue. That's true. Not with the pressure we have now.
No, now I'm looking at it at 15, and I'm thinking, this is not sustainable.
Well, you know, that's just on your end of the state, you know, over there across the state after you leave Calcasieu, it's 25.
I know.
25 with a 12-inch minimum. Got a whole box of cigars laying there, man.
I can't quite
make that. The Cocodrie special.
And I know, you know, I'll watch those guys over there. They'll bring out their little crickets and maulers, and they'll catch those little trout. And I know a lot of times they're throwing them in the box, and they're not even 12. And that's you're hurting your fishery.
If it bites a hook, let's box it.
Let's box it, yeah.
That's it.
Hey, we keep shrimp, don't we?
Well, that's true.
That's what I hear. We eat shrimp, so why not little trout? And they do taste good, I have to admit.
They do. I understand all that. That's it, man. Little niblets. All right, man. Well, Bill, always a pleasure talking to you. Good luck today. Hope you you got a really nice morning, so, you know, before the weather starts turning this afternoon. So,
yep. I wish you. It starts from here, and here we go.
That's right. I wish you the best of luck. We got more rain coming. So.
Yeah, you know, I know. Every other day this week.
Continue on. All right, buddy. All right. Well, hey, if somebody wants to come fish with you, how do they get a hold of you?
409-786-2018.
Or fishsabinelake.com.
That's it, brother.
All right, bud. Bill, have a good day. Enjoy your day. All right, see you, man. Take care. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 437 in the Bayou City. All right, let's head down the coast and let's go check in with our buddy Bink Grimes and see what he's got in store for the last weekend of duck season. Bink, good morning. What's up?
Good morning.
Well?
Yeah, well.
Well?
It's over.
They're all dead.
Yeah, it's been a good one. Can't complain, but we're pretty tired. It's about time for it to be over. I know my wife and daughter are ready for it to be over.
Well, you know, I always look forward just as much to the end of duck season as I did the beginning of it, because, man, after you spend every single day of your life in the mud and the blood and the guts, and it's time to go fishing again.
It is. I mean, this whole week will be nothing but clean up and mud and pulling boats out of the marsh.
Yeah.
My truck looks terrible. It smells terrible. You know, my daughter and wife don't even want to ride in it because it smells that bad. You know, just
we used to call that duck rot. Everybody's got duck rot, man.
Your hands are sore. They got cuts on them. They got
cracks, dried out from the mud and duck blood on them. Wet, stinky dog shaking the water all over you every day. Yep. But we sure do enjoy it. It's fun.
I can't imagine life without it, to be real honest.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long 3 months, but it's part of life. for us.
Well, did your second half of the season hold up good enough for you? Did you see any change versus the first half?
Not really. I mean, this property we hunt is pretty amazing. From year to year, it's about the same. I can't tell, you know, more ducks from year to year. I mean, it's just really, really, really blessed to have it. And the only change, you know, this last week, we've had a change, and not because of we've lost some birds, but since last Saturday night, we got about 8 to 10 inches of rain down here in the marsh, and then had another inch and a half, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday.
Right.
And so we've had 10 to 12 inches of rain that didn't happen high ground, you know. And you know exactly what happened to marsh ducks when it rains like that. You know, they head to the high ground.
Oh, and, yeah. They're able to spread out. They got water everywhere.
Yeah, they're everywhere. And some of the stuff that we were hunting is, you know, we pull our water levels down starting about January the 1st and try to get them down for that last month to around shin deep, less than knee deep. Something you can't really do early because if you don't, you won't have water all the way through the season. And, but you know, when you figure things out, you know, throughout the years and try to pull that water down, the end of the year and those ducks concentrate and you try to get those green wings in there, you know, those green wings they're kind of a fickle duck too. They like a real, real shallow water. And we kind of like to, we don't shoot a whole lot of them, but at the end of the season we do.
And, yeah.
You know, and man, we had everything just looking right, and then we got all that rain, but I mean, we still have enough ducks to do well. Don't get me wrong. We're just, you know, it's just, they're spread out now. And I talked to some of my buddies on the high ground, that have been struggling, and they said, man, we got an influx of ducks this week. I said, yeah, I know where they came from, because I'm just south of them. They're mine.
Yeah.
You know? And you see some of these ponds these high ground ponds, that got recharged, that they were about to go dry, and they got a, you know, 4 or 5 inches of water on them, and man, they were loaded up with ducks this week. And you know, it's just typical. You ride the highs and lows of the season. And but yeah, we're gonna end it good. It just you're dealing with some water that we ain't dealt with all year, but it's gonna be all right. It ought to be gonna have to get them early, because you know, heck, we got blue skies, and I like blue skies for decoying ducks, but we don't have a whole lot of wind. Didn't have it yesterday, and you had to make the most of your opportunities. Did all right yesterday, did pretty good, but you got to make the most of your opportunities without any wind and as blue skies as we got, you know.
Yeah, and it's fairly calm this morning, too.
It really is. Yeah, it was real, real calm. It's supposed to turn east sometime, but it doesn't look like it. I see flags that are pretty limp right now, so we may not get the east wind. So,
well, they're calling for an east southeast at 10 to 20 today, but it's probably going to come later, I would think.
Yeah, probably will. Probably be later. But we're gonna try to shoot them early and get on out. So, but yeah, it's I can't complain, man. Me and my wife were talking last night, man, I'm tired at the end of the year, but I can't imagine, you know, you're a whole lot more tired if you don't have ducks, you know, and that's the one thing that's been blessed with, you know, we haven't gone a stretch.
Yeah, it's kept you going.
You know,
yeah, good hunting's kept you going and enthused. You know, if you got really slow hunting, it wears you down. You're ready to just, you know, throw the towel in.
Yeah, there's been times, you know, over the years, or especially goose hunting, that you just want to. In fact, we did it years ago. You know, the little geese, when you got one of those years when you know, it's a tough year and you run a hunt at the end of January and it's just a tough one. They don't want to do it, and Man, I've had some buddies. We just laugh. We leave the spread out there and just get the four wheelers and just run it all over.
You can have this mess.
We still laugh about that. Want to set a fire? Set a match to it? Put some gasoline on and just light a match and watch it go down.
Yeah, put all your rags in a pile and just burn them. I'm done with this. I'm never doing something again.
Yeah, it's some memories of that back
reminds
in the day.
Me of some of the golfers I've played with over the years. I know a guy, I've watched him throw his golf bag, clubs and all in the pond on the 18th hole. Said, I'm done with it. I'm never playing golf again. And he walks into the clubhouse to get him a cold beverage and said, oh, man, I can't even pay for this. My wallet's in my golf bag. He had to go out there and roll his pants up and wait out there and get his wallet out of the golf bag. And he just left it there and walked away. He never played again. He said, that's it. I'm done. That's the happiest day of my life is when I quit.
Breaking clubs.
He had a bad day. Yeah, he lost a little money and played terrible and said, that's it. I'm through. I'll just, this game is not for me.
Yeah, it can test you. That's for sure. But, yeah, like I said, we're kind of excited it's over with, but it's been a good one. So,
all right.
You know,
I wanted to check in with you last weekend. I have felt like I had to get a hold of you this morning and see how things have been going. And so you're fixing to be in fishing mode 24/7 now after this. And
yeah, about to be in fishing mode. So, you've talked to Tommy and Charlie and all of them. It's been pretty daggum good down there.
Yes, it has. You guys have been blessed the last couple of years.
Mild winter and everything. I mean, it's almost like, heck, it was 70 degrees in the bay this week at one time,
Oh, yeah.
You kind of go back and you look, you say, shoot, I better go ahead and change and get into spring pattern, It's just some of them are on spring pattern right now. That stuff that we're getting in the spring, they're all over that stuff right now. And so it's just, a mild winter. It's just, I've never swatted so many mosquitoes in January at duck hunting as I have this year,
Oh, well. Well, hey, if somebody wants to get with you at Matagorda Sunrise Lodge, how do they get a hold of you, Bink? Give them out a number, bud.
Yeah, 979-241-1705, or check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and we'll be around there.
All right. Good luck with your last two shoots of the year, and good luck to you, man.
All right, Bink, we'll talk to you.
Thanks, Bink. See you, bud. All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, that's Bink Grimes heading to the duck blind this morning. Now let's go back to Matagorda and let's talk with Captain Charlie P., Charlie Paradosky. Charlie, what's up?
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good, man. How are you?
Well, I'm sleeping in today. Didn't have any takers for today.
Oh, you never did get a trip for the weekend? Boy, this morning would be a good one, too, man.
Oh, I could walk them right into them, no problem, but...
Golly. Well, how'd you do yesterday?
Well, Thursday was the day.
Oh, I thought you fished yesterday. Okay.
I did.
Oh.
But Thursday, I got back down there Wednesday afternoon, and the wind was gusting to 35 out of the east, and rainy and nasty, and I said, oh, my God. It's going to be tough tomorrow. But I got up that morning, and... they wanted to make a wade. I'm running across that bay, and the whole damn bay just emerald green.
Ooh.
How it cleared up that quick, I don't know. But I knew I should have just started drifting, but we went and made about an hour wade to a spot where I normally catch them under those conditions. Didn't catch anything. And came out of there, and I don't care where we went or what we did, you caught fish. I mean,
awesome.
I even saw birds working. Had an issue with a shark.
What?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. We had all four of us were on with some birds, and here's about a 4-foot shark that almost jumped in the boat with us trying to get one of the trout.
In January.
Yeah, and then I got cut off again yesterday, and I looked at that leader, and It was a clean cut. And I said, that's a damn shark to cut that thing off.
So, have you ever seen that before?
No.
I've never even heard of it.
But everywhere we went, we just caught and released fish all day long. And there was nobody.
If that's not an indication of an early spring, I don't know what is.
Yeah. You know, and then you go back yesterday, and it's absolutely dead, flat, slick, high pressure sitting on you. You know, it was just school bus fishing. Every boat that was out there went in, and then you got a major feed about 11:45, 12 o'clock, and we started catching them. I put the trolling motor down, and we just kind of started easing around, and they just started eating.
Wow.
So we pecked on them with those purple little johns and real light lead heads, and had no problem catching them.
Amazing.
Today would really, really be a good day. I think they'll all get them out there today.
You're probably right.
But I've never seen sharks in January out there. Never have.
And that was in East Bay?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's 4 or 5 foot shark.
That's just crazy.
Yeah. He followed one of the trout right up to the boat, and the customer they saw it. Jerked that fish up out of the air into the boat. The shark came up with it.
Tried to come with it.
Yeah.
God.
And we never had another issue with one. You know, we all had fish on.
You know, I thought that was so odd that year. I saw that huge bull shark in the back of Sabine Lake wade fishing back there, and it was just a few days before Christmas. It was cold too.
Yeah.
And we're waiting back there, and he ran me off. I had enough. I had my limit. I said, I'm done. He can have his sandbar. I don't want any more of it. Not with that big boy on here cruising around. And I never could. It never would register that, you know, those would be in the, you know, in the bay system like that. That time of year, as cold as it is. But maybe they winter in these channels too. They don't have to go. They don't leave. Like most of them do. I don't know. That is strange, especially East Bay.
Yeah.
In January. Jeez.
Well, God knows they got plenty of fish to eat out there, so I think if I was a shark, I'd hang around out there all year long.
I believe I'd winter there, too. I'd winter where the food's at, and I got plenty to eat. That's a fact.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Pretty crazy.
No, fishing's still good, Mickey. You just got to go to catch them.
That's right.
You can tell that deer season's over with because more people are starting to show up.
Yeah.
I've noticed a lot of Galveston guys over here.
Yeah, it's so good over here, they got to come over there.
Yeah. I don't blame them.
I don't blame them either. If I lived an hour closer, I'd be over there every week, too.
Yeah.
I'm just pretty good. That's a pretty good run every day pulling a boat back and forth for me.
Yeah, it is.
Well,
yes, it is.
Well, Charlie, I'm glad I got a hold of you, and glad you had a couple of good days anyway. Man, I can't believe you didn't get a trip for today. Today's storybook stuff.
Well, you know, I could have made some
picturesque
calls about somebody. You just get to the point where you know, you don't want to fight it. You need to rest every now and then, so whatever.
That's true. Well, I'm rested up. I'm ready to start hitting it. I've had enough hunting. That's all over with. And ready to start chunking some Little Johns and Lee's and Hot Rods. Ready to go with it.
Me too.
All right, man. Well, Charlie, if somebody wants to give you a call, how do they get a hold of you? They want to come over and hook them up.
Cell phone, 713-725-2401.
All right, Charlie. Always good, man. You have a good weekend, and I'll talk to you next week.
See you then, Mickey.
All right, Charlie. Thank you. See you, man.
Bye.
All right. That's Captain Charlie Paradosky over in Matagorda, and now we're going to go to our top-of-the-hour break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.